Welcome to Torah Simcha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Foxbrenner, and today we will be learning Yeshayahu Perek Mem Hei, Chapter 45. We mentioned at the end of the last chapter that this chapter would foretell the rise of the Persian King Cyrus, Koresh, who would begin the process that would result in the building of the Second Temple. This chapter is therefore about the redemption that already has come and culminated in the building of the Second Temple. The Nevi refers to Koresh as Hashem's anointed one, Mashicho. Usually this term refers to a Jewish king or a Kohen that is anointed to a position of spiritual authority. Here is the appointment to a position of temporal power, in this case in order to conquer Babylonia, which will lead to permission for the Jewish people to rebuild the temple. Hashem says that he will make it easy for Cyrus to conquer the great kingdom of Babylon by neutralizing all of the physical protection that they have made for themselves. And why will he do this? L'ma'an teda ki ani Hashem, ha'korei v'shimcha Elokei Yisrael, so that you will know that it is I, Hashem, the God of Israel, who has proclaimed your name. Radak here points out that it is not only the events that are foretold here, but that Cyrus, in contrast to Sancheriv and Nebuchadnezzar, the two world leaders before him, will recognize that his dominion really comes from God. And why does Hashem give him this power, this dominion? Laman avdi Yaakov v'Yisrael b'chiri, for the sake of my servant Jacob, Israel my chosen one. Although Koresh was better than his predecessors, in that he did recognize the role of God in his victories, Hashem gave him that power for the sake of the Jewish people. This is clear because he was chosen way before his birth, before he could earn such rewards himself. As many sections do, this section ends with a proclamation of Hashem's power. But this one is unique. Ani Hashem ve'ein od zulasi, ein Elohim. I am Hashem, there is no God. Besides me, there is no one else. Besides me, there is no God. Yotzer or uvori choshech, osei shalom uvori ra. Ani Hashem osei chol ele. I form light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I am God who does all these things. Hashem is taking credit, so to speak, for the power and victory of the Persians. What is the place of light and darkness and peace and evil here? Why is he mentioning that both good and bad come from him? Yeshayahu, a century and a half before the ascension of Persia, is predicting the rise of the Persian Empire, the earliest known practitioners of Zoroastrianism. This is the belief that there are two opposing forces in the world, that of good and all that comes with it, light, wisdom, happiness, etc., and an opposing force of darkness or evil and all that comes with it, ignorance, suffering, and death. The Persians believed that the course of history and everyday life was a struggle between these two forces, and that ultimately good would eventually vanquish evil. While predicting the success of this empire, the Nevi proclaimed that their success comes from God, the source of all, darkness, light, good, perceived evil, suffering, and success. It is our perception that sees evil, but really everything in life and over the course of history is only from the one God, the source of everything. There do not exist two opposing sources, forces. And what will the source of all bring? Harifu shamay mima'al, pour down skies from above, ushchaki mizlu tzedek, let the heavens rain down righteousness, tiftach eretz v'yifru yesha, utzdaka satzmiach yachad, let the earth open up and triumph sprout, let vindication spring up, ani Hashem b'rasiv, I am Hashem who has created it. After the Babylonian exile, the Jews will know plenty and goodness as if the earth and sky opened up to bestow their goodness upon them. Hoy Rav Es Yitzro, shame on he who argues with his maker. This is speaking of Belshazzar, the last ruler of the vast empire of Babylonia, over whom Koresh was victorious. We know from Daniel chapter 5 that Belshazzar argued that the Jewish people would never return home and displayed this certainty by using the vessels of the temple. This was the way in which he argued with Hashem, so to speak. Cheres escharsi adama, even though he is naught but a potsherd of earth, he dared to argue with God, to say to God, I know that you will not return, I know that you will not redeem your people, and to show you that I know this, I will use the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash publicly in order to proclaim that you will not return. Belshazzar was displaying his durability in comparison with Israel, who he perceived as vanquished. But in reality, it was he who was fragile. Hayomar chomer leyotzro ma taaseh. Shall the clay say to the potter, what are you doing? Ufa'alcha ein yadayim lo, your work has no handles. Does a creation, like Belshazzar, say to its own creator, to Hashem, that he knows better? Belshazzar was sure that Israel would never be built again, because he himself could not understand the purpose of their exile and destruction if they were to be rebuilt. If God favored them, then they should always have been victorious. His use of the vessels of the temple was his proof of this. Because if there was a God of Israel that planned to bring them back, then there was no way that he would allow this embarrassment. But Belshazzar, like all of us, is but a creation, a shard of earth like all others. He doesn't understand because he, as a human being, has such a narrow view of history, while Hashem has a plan that takes thousands of years to come to fruition. And therefore, Hashem's actions make perfect sense from the broader and more enlightened viewpoint. The Navi admonishes Belshazzar for his small-mindedness. Hoy omer la'av matolid. Shame on him who asks his father, what are you begetting? Uli'isha matchilin. Or to a woman, what are you bearing? Belshazzar was asking Hashem, so to speak, if you intend to bring them back, if you really are still here, if they really are your people, then what is the point of all of this? Ko amar Hashem kadosh Yisrael v'yotzro. Thus says Hashem, Israel's Holy One and their Maker. Ha'osio she'aluni al banai ba'al po'al yadai t'tzaveni. Do you dare question me on the destiny of my children? Do you demand to know about the work of my hands? Instead of those who unsuccessfully challenge me about what I can and cannot do, look at what I have done and promised to do and try to understand the meaning of it. Anochi asisi eretz va'adam aleha brasi. It was I who made the earth and I created man upon it. Ani adai natu shamayim v'chotz va'am tzivisi. My own hands stretched out the heavens and I command all its parts. I created all the earth with man as its ultimate purpose. I have a plan and I control all that occurs. And that plan will come to fruition. Anochi he'iros v'tzedek v'chol drachav ayashar. It was I who roused Cyrus for victory and who leveled all roads for him. Hu yivneh iri v'galusi yishaleach. He will rebuild my city and he will let my exiled people go. Lo v'imchir v'lo v'shochad amar Hashem Tzvakos. Without price and without payment, says Hashem. The exile of the Jewish people and even their degradation and subsequent ascension of Cyrus is all a part of my plan and will fit into what I want to accomplish. It will happen because I said so, and there is no natural physical explanation that will cause their return, neither fight nor bribe nor coercion. After predicting the return of the Jewish people, after the Babylonian exile, Yeshayahu goes back in time to the victory over Sennacherib, the ruler of Assyria, during the first temple period. During the rule of Chizkiyahu, the king of Judah, Sennacherib destroyed the 10 tribes of Israel, the other Jewish kingdom to the north of Judah. He then turned his attention to Jerusalem. But, as we see in verse 14, he was distracted, so to speak, by Cush, Mitzrayim, and Sva, who he heard were ready to rise against him. Sennacherib easily destroyed them, and then, upon returning to Jerusalem, his army was carrying the spoils and prisoners of those wars. Ultimately, Sennacherib was vanquished by Judah, and all the spoils from previous wars became theirs. No one could have predicted this or expected this. Judah was to be the next simple conquest on Sennacherib's long list. And when it did happen, all the prisoners of war, Alayach yavoru v'lachiyu acharayich, yelechu bazikim yavoru. To you, the Jewish people, will these servants pass over, and they will follow you in chains. Ve'elayich yishtachavu, elayich yispalalu, ach bach keo, ve'ein od efes Elohim. They will bow down to you, and they will say to you, only amongst you is God, there is no other God at all. these prisoners will recognize that it only could be the hand of Hashem that has brought them to be within the possession of the Jewish people. And then these prisoners will turn to Hashem and say, Achein ata kel mistater Elokei Yisrael Moshiach. You are indeed a God who has concealed himself, O God of Israel, who brings victory. They will proclaim something that is the basic theme of this chapter, that although sometimes we cannot see God, and there are events in history that seem to go against his people and his promises to them, he is always there, and he is always in the process of bringing his end goal. He is the one who brings victory, and therefore, Boshu v'gam nichlemu kulam, yachdav halchu v'chlima charashitzirim. They will have eternal shame and be publicly disgraced. Those who made idols will walk away in shame. Those who may have seemed victorious for a short time, the winds of history seem to have been favorable to them. Ultimately, they will walk away in shame. But Yisrael no shav Hashem tshuas olamim, lo sevoshu v'lo sikamu ad olmeyad. But Israel will have eternal victory through Hashem. They will not be shamed nor disgraced forever. These verses 15 through 17 are an extraordinary comfort in the section of the book that tells alternately about punishment and exile and ultimate destruction. We have been the recipients of terrible and repeated destructions and persecutions. For a nation that claims to be chosen, this has an extra element of embarrassment. These verses tell us that although we do suffer, this is not an indication that we are mistaken about our place in the world. Everything is a part of God's plan. He did not forget about us. Ultimately, this very confusion will be a source of pride for us and embarrassment for others as his plan is revealed in retrospect. The chapter ends with a summary of all history and Hashem's purpose in this world, that he is its creator. Lo sohu v'ra'ah l'sheves yitzara. Ani Hashem ve'ein od. He did not create it for a waste, but formed it for habitation. I am Hashem, and there is no one else. And since he made it for a purpose, he made that purpose known to all. Lo vaseser dibarti bimkom eretz, choshech lo amarti lezera Yaakov, tohu vakshuni. I did not speak in secret at a site in the land of darkness. I did not say to Jacob, seek me out in a wasteland, somewhere that no one will know. Ani Hashem dover tzedek, magid misharim. I, Hashem, foretells reliably, who announce what is true. Hashem publicly, and the most apparent way to all, gave the Torah to the Jewish people. And the whole world knew about it, and could have and should have changed their ways to conform to what they knew to be real and true. And so continues the Navi, that they will ultimately regret their loyalty to their idols, because they will, of course, be proven wrong in the end, and the Jewish people will be vindicated. Not because of them themselves. Of course, our victory is only b'Hashem yitzdeku v'yishallelu kol zera Yisrael. It is through Hashem that they will have vindication and that all the offspring of Israel will have glory. Thank you for learning together le'ilui neshmas Malka Esther bas Tzvi Yosef.